Well, I'm so happy to be talking to the one and only Eric Gilliam, who just popped in, actually, because he's going to be on Pam Toompop's show. I'm so glad you got to meet Pam. You hadn't met Pam from the Chamber of Commerce before, had you?
No, it was the first time I had met her.
She's really a cool lady. I've been friends with her for years, and she does so much. And this is a dream for her to do this show on Aloha.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed you, actually, on the way out.
That's what I love about those places. You go from one room to the next.
Did you ever see that Monty Python skit where you walk into a room and you want abuse in one room? Did you ever see that skit and the guy walks into the wrong room and he gets something besides abuse and then he goes into another room?
I will watch it. It sounds funny.
Put Monty Python, the abuse skit.
Oh, man.
And it's about someone going into a room thinking he's going into one room and he's going into a different room than what he was. He went into the room for an argument rather than the room for abuse. And so he said, this is an abuse after a while of just arguing. But we won't do that. We're going to actually talk about your mom because Mother's Day is this coming Sunday. And you know and I know. I mean, I just love my mother so much. She was the one that really inspired me to write. She inspired me to also get my stuff out there when I didn't think I could. And your mom, I had a chance to meet actually only, I think, once or twice. I was going into Coho's, and Amy was sitting there with your mom having nachos. It was like, well, how cool is this? And I just loved that there was this, I could see this energy, mm-hmm. that love that only a mother and a child can have for each other.
Yeah.
And there's this love that inspired you and your sister and your brother and so many people with the legacy that's so powerful. And I want you to talk about your mom, and now you have a date for a memorial service. So I'd like you just to talk from your heart about some of the memories and impressions that you have still that's alive so strongly in you about your mother.
Well, you know, she was one of the kindest people. I mean, both my mom and dad, but my mom in particular was just so sweet all the time. Although she did have another side of her that didn't take crap from nobody.
Uh-huh.
She had a little fire in her too, but for the most part, I mean, growing up, my mom, you know, she was, you know, the house was always open. Friends could always come and stay. She was always just, you know, she was an extension of her parents. Her mom and her mom was my grandma Madeline was really, really sweet. They're just good people from the Midwest. Mom's from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and they're just nice people, don't you know? Nice folks.
But I thought there was a Molokai influence here.
No. Well, that's from my dad's side.
Okay, got it.
My dad's the Hawaiian side. My mom's, you know, the Haole side.
Oh, I got it.
From Eau Claire, Wisconsin. They met in California. My mom was 18, and she hooked up with a young 17-year-old kid, and then they got married after knowing each other 6 weeks. Eloped and went to Las Vegas, and were married 54 years.
It was love at first sight. It was meant to be.
Oh, yeah. It's all in my show, White Hawaiian. That's the story that I tell. I tell the story, and I become them, and I play my mother in the show. And to me, it's of all the characters that I play in the show, White Hawaiian, my mom is truly the funniest. She's so funny. And you meet my mother in White Hawaiian the moment we landed on Maui in 1971, and she's walking through the airport, and she can't find her three kids, and she's just pissed off. She's thinking she's going to have to live in a frickin' grass shack. And so she's just funny. I come out as my mother with this beehive 60s, you know, my mother wore these wigs at that time.
Like the B-52s, like they
were.
Oh,
the total
right?
B-52, yeah. And, you know, she comes out, and she just, you know, she was so funny in her own way, and she was ornery in so many ways. But, you know, she had this real sweet side to her, and she could, you know. Mom was, she was a wonderful mother. She was, you know, just incredibly supportive of her three children. Anything we ever wanted to do, they were just behind us 100%. And my dad used to always say that, you know, and they both would say that. Whatever you kids want to do, we're behind you 100%. And just as parents, they were just good people.
Mm.
And so, yeah, and, you know, we're going to have a beautiful celebration for my mom on the 21st of this month at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 10 a.m. from 10 to 1. And I've actually compiled a really funny video. My sister, for the last couple of years, was doing these on Instagram. She was doing these little videos called The World According to Mimi. Mimi is my mom's name. Mary Lee. Mimi is her nickname. And so my sister was filming my mom over the last couple of years. You know, she was 80, 81, 80. She just passed at 82. And she would catch my mom in these really funny moments where my mom was sitting in her chair. I bought her this wonderful electric chair that could stand her up and sit her down. And, you know, my sister says, "Mom, how's it going this morning?" And she's like, "Well, I'm just mad." "Well, what are you mad at, Mom?" She says, "Well, I've been sitting here making calls on this phone, and no one's answering." And my sister goes, "Mom, that's the TV remote you're holding in your hand." So there were a bunch of these, and then my mother would cackle. She had the greatest laugh.
Oh, really?
Such a funny
laugh. Was it one of those infectious laughs that when you hear it, you laugh more?
What's that?
Was it one of those laughs that when you hear it, you laugh more?
Yeah. She had a cackle. She would cackle. And once she started laughing, there was no stopping her. If my mom started laughing at someone's funeral, it was over.
Oh,
she
my
would
gosh.
Just, she couldn't stop.
Oh,
she was just one of those, you know. And so my sister, thankfully, she filmed a bunch of these little
laughs.
Short films, and I put them all together in like the best of the world according to Mimi.
Oh,
so there's some really, really funny ones in there. And,
I love that, because you know what? I really think it's important to celebrate our parents and our mother, especially. Mother's Day is this Sunday. But celebrating is what I believe in me is that they would want us to celebrate them.
Mm-hmm.
They'd want us not to be just crying and miserable and angry and upset with the world. We are already that anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? There's enough going on mm-hmm. for us to have that, a share, overshare of that, right, with what's going on in the world. But you know what? I really believe they want us to be still happy. Did you ever have your mom just say, "I just want you to be happy"?
Oh, that's how she was. That's how she lived her life.
That's
how
my mother used to say to me,
like,
"I just want you to be happy."
I just want you to be happy, yeah, and she was also, wonderfully protective of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when we were doing something wrong,
yeah,
my mom just was like, "Well, you know, you couldn't say anything bad about her children because she was Mama Bear, man. She'd come after
uh-huh.
you." And she was very protective of us.
But isn't it nice to she had your back?
Oh, always.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, she lived a good life. I mean, would have liked to have had her around longer, but my dad passed away 13 years ago, and that was that was hard for her.
Yeah.
Although her, she was able to forge ahead with her.
Well, part of that because of you and the grandkids. I mean, Amy's beautiful, Maddie. Look how amazing you when you did that one. all things working in was it harmony? You had Maddie say a few words, and she was just a baby, young kid then, and I saw a picture of her now, and look at how beautiful she is. My God, she's gorgeous.
I just took her to go get her sophomore banquet gown last week, Wednesday, or Wednesday. This past Friday was her sophomore banquet, and I took her to go get her gown, and it was just like, oh, man, I just, started weeping because she's just
beautiful.
She's 16 years old and and she's a sweet, sweet person and very much like my mom. My mom, fortunately was able to, really spend a lot of quality time with Maddie.
Yeah.
Up until she passed. And so, yeah.
That was the extra after time
mm-hmm.
that she was able to have because, probably part of her wanted to be with her husband, and be there, but I think that knowing she had these beautiful children, these wonderful, beautiful children and grandchildren, she got to see all the things you were doing, all the things Amy's been doing. I mean, I don't think a mother could be more proud than looking at your lives and seeing what you become. And that, what a gift that is that you gave to her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the legacy right there, right? I mean, you're the living legacy of your mom.
Yeah, I think we are all potentially living the legacy of, you know, your ancestors and the people before them and the people before them. That's in the end, that's really all you have, right? You really have only got, you're standing on the shoulders of whatever you were standing on the shoulders of. And in my case, it was very fortunate to stand on the shoulders of my mom and my dad. We're both really wonderful human beings. They were just kind people, and just they brought us to, you know, they raised us on this beautiful island. How fortunate was that?
Yeah. And they let you be yourself, whatever that might be, without judgment. You know, just allow you to be as crazy you wanted to be as whatever, you know. And I saw that, and it's like, wow, how cool is that, you know? Because you get pretty wild sometimes, Eric. I mean, there's been times you've been, I mean, not a lot of parents could maybe understand you in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, there were moments just like, whoa, okay, you
know? Yeah, I mean.
But it didn't surprise her, did it?
Yeah, well, and that's a great example of how we had, because mom and dad, they were young. They were 17 and 18, they got married. My brother was born a year later. I was born 4 years after that. So they were young parents.
Yeah.
And so we got to have a lot of fun with them.
Uh-huh, friendship.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun together. Rocky Horror was a great example. The first time I did it in 1993 at the EO Theater, my dad was running the spotlight in lingerie.
Not.
And my mom was in the box office with Auntie Pat and Dick Doran.
Oh my gosh.
And the Pigots, and they were all, it was like, really, they were fun parents. We had a lot of fun with them growing up in the theater. So in that respect, they had a really, really good ride with us, and we had a good ride with them.
Yeah. And I know Amy was so influenced also by your grandmother on your father's side. I mean, she's talked often about how she feels that part of her was kind of developed with that legacy, you know, with the hula and who she was and being a star in her own right, you know, and having that history. You know, there aren't a lot of people around that have that legacy like you have. There's really, you know, there are people, but not a lot that can claim to be like your family. You know, I mean, there are a few families that are like this, but you are kind of a unique family. With you being so out there and being so popular and doing so many things, with Amy being so successful and doing so many wonderful things, and with your brother Tim, I heard he just took off on the Hokulea again. Is he's off voyaging again?
Yeah, the Hokulea is almost to they're two thirds of the way to Tahiti right now. So
I mean, this is, you know, you have to look at a family like this, Eric. This is really special, but do you ever feel that is a bit of a burden for you at all, that there is this thing you've got to live up to always, because you don't ever feel that way?
Never.
Never.
Never. I live by my motto, which is, I'm not here for a long time, I'm here for a good time.
Ooh.
I live by that. I really do.
That's a wonderful motto. I'm not here for a long
time. Because it goes by so fast, Cindy. It goes by in the blink of an eye.
I know.
Man.
Look at it. I mean, I've got how many? 33 years now. I go, look at, oh my God, 33 years since I've been here. And I mean, I remember back and look back at when I introduced, I was years and years, 30 years ago maybe, I had Amy on my local Lick show, and she'd come in and, you know, none of us know what's going to happen, but I have to say, you have lived a good life. You know, I mean, it's something that really can inspire other people. And, you know, you have even more wonderful plans. I was very excited to talk to Scott Johnson. He was saying you're planning the White Hawaiian again. It was out of the box amazing. Got the best reviews ever. I mean, we're talking ever. I mean, I couldn't believe how everyone loved it. And that was how many years ago? 4 years ago? How many years ago did you last?
We first did it in December of 2019, and then we sold out the Mac, and then we did it again in February 2020, and then the pandemic hit, and so it's just been idling since then. But it's coming back in July. We're about to announce where we're going to be doing it, but you can go to whitehawaiian.com and follow that, because that's... and the show's going to run indefinitely. We're going to do an open-ended run.
It'll in the McCoy?
Don't know yet. We don't know where the show... Okay. We're in negotiations with a couple different venues right now. So I think my management team, Scott and Jill Johnson, are going to make that determination here very, very soon. But if you want to see the show, just follow whitehawaiian.com, and we'll be posting you know, the performance dates there. But yeah, we're going to do it. It'll run on Maui. It'll be an open-ended run. It'll be an indefinite run. Mm-hmm. I want it to run for years. And then we're going to take it to the Big Island and to Oahu and to Las Vegas. In by the middle of next year, we will have accomplished all of that. And eventually, I want to get it to New York. It is a Broadway show.
Or Vegas, baby.
Yeah.
I could, with the Hawaiian community in Vegas, you could be doing an amazing run there, and they'd put you up, and you'd have your own. I could see it as a cool, very cool Vegas show.
Yeah.
I was just there in Vegas, and oh my gosh, there's so many Hawaiians. Yeah, I love that. You could even do it like a whole luau kind of Hawaiian show.
Strangely enough, it's a show that's really kind of for everybody because in the end, I'm just telling my story.
Yeah.
And the best compliments I get when people come to the show is that they come up to me afterward and say, man, when you came out as your dad or you came out as your mom or your grandma, it reminded me of my grandmother or reminded me of it. It's just, you know, because we all have a story.
Yeah.
Everybody has an amazing story. We're all part of this experience, this human experience. And we're all tethered to one another, whether you like it or not. And so everybody's got a great story. And so this is just a story that we're telling that is colorful and funny and heartfelt and very musical. And it's about an entertainment family that's just trying to make it to Broadway, ultimately.
Mm.
And I do. But the journey getting there is very rough and funny and ridiculous. And it's a show that every other scene is just when you think it can't get more complicated and more ridiculous, a la Monty Python, it does.
You know, I think about you and the great shows you have been in, the movies you worked on with Brian Cohen, of course. I mean, what a blessing that you and Willie were able to do Get a Job. And that talk about a living legacy. Now, that is there forever. It's caught on film with the energy and fun that you and Willie were able to have. And I can't even imagine how they maintained or were able to contain you in a script. Do you ever find in The White Hawaiian or in other things that you're doing that is scripted, that you're limited and you just want to break free and do your own improvisations and go wild?
Yes and no. I mean, White Hawaiian is a very, very specific story. And it's got a beginning, middle, and an end. There's an arc to the story. There are, we wrote it in such a way, Brian Kona and I wrote the story in such a way where things are adding up as you're going through. Uh-huh. So it's not like a comic where a comic can kind of just improvise. This is a story. So there's a script that that was very carefully written over the course of a year.
Uh-huh.
So every character has an arc, and so everything's kind of leading up. So the characters in the beginning are planting seeds that are going to add up at the end. So in that respect, it is a very scripted story.
Uh-huh.
So you go from these very wild and colorful characters. You know, the story opens with my great-grandfather, who was a barefisted boxer in San Francisco, and he got shanghaied on a boat and ended up in Kahului Harbor.
Oh.
And he meets my grandmother, who had just paddled a canoe from Molokai, my great-grandmother, who had paddled a canoe from Molokai, and the two of them meet. And you meet these two characters in the beginning of this, and this is where the story begins in 1902.
Wow.
And so I play him in all of his wackiness. I play my great-grandmother, Ho'okano, who's this big Hawaiian woman with big boobs and a butt, and she's got an attitude, and now she's going to marry this Haole guy. And then, you know, and then so it goes on from there. I play my grandmother, my dad, my mom, my sister. I play all of these characters in full costume change, full...
It's a lot of work.
Oh, the show is a marathon. I mean, it's a straight 75-minute show with no intermission. And I am exhausted by the end of it. So there's musical numbers. Every character does a musical number. In between each of the scenes, there's a short interstitial film that takes you through time. It takes you. It moves the story along. So you see Hawaii in different eras. Every 10 years, you see this beautiful, these short films that were edited by another Maui talented guy named Adi Eli, who is just this, he's a professor at the at the college.
Really?
And a great, talented guy. So
did he provided the images and did you do the video or did
well,
you do the video?
Well, it's home videos.
Oh.
It's videos that we cobbled together. I mean, he spent a lot of time creating these beautiful short films where you get to go down memory lane.
Uh-huh.
You know, as an audience member, you're like, I remember that TV show. I remember that. I remember this. So there's all these imageries, and this, so it's this tapestry of like characters and short films and musical numbers, and ultimately, it's a story about the relationship between my dad and I. And so it's this very well thought out Broadway show.
Did you ever videotape it when you did it before? Did you have a video?
We did.
A copy of it.
Yeah, we have that, but that's right now. We want people to come see it. It's right. about the live experience. Seeing it live is really what you want to do.
Yeah, it's like, and you're great live.
Well, I mean, it's like okay, you can watch the movie Rocky Horror, but would you want to go see it live?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is all, like you said, it's part of what we can celebrate as people because we all have those emotions, but we also can celebrate you and your legacy and your parents and say, We can join together and we can celebrate, you know. We can be together and we can lift our spirits, you know. We can be happy. There's been so much depression. There's been so much overwhelm. There's been so much bad news that it's really brought a lot of people down, you know. And I know every time I see you, you do something to bring people up. And I mean, your quote that you started at the beginning kind of explained that. I mean, and I'd never heard you say that quote before, you know. Why not? You know, in the time we have here, have a good time.
Hey, man, the Dalai Lama said it best, is that the most potent choice you can make in this lifetime is to have fun.
I never heard that quote from the Dalai Lama. I studied the Dalai Lama. I saw him a few times pretty close up, and I've never heard that one. But isn't it interesting? You were able to find one?
It's a quote that happened somewhere down the line. I mean, I poached that from they said it was him that said it. It sounds like something that he would say.
It was actually something that Eric Gilliam said, and it was attributed to the Dalai Lama. Or the Dalai Lama heard you say it first, and he may have taken it from you, Eric.
Well, maybe. Who knows?
That means
wouldn't that be funny? We find out that the Dalai Lama does plagiarism. All of his quotes he stole from somebody else.
You know, this is always good, and I have to say, you always do bring my spirits up, and it's always a wonderful treat to see you. And I know you were really busy, and people going to hear more about you on Pam Toompop's show this Friday. She's got this Aloha Spirit show that's just wonderful, and it airs from 1 to 2 on Friday. And she does wonderful things, you know. So this is your trajectory for right now. You're getting ready to do this, and this is going to be like an amazing experience that's going to be going on for a run, and we have to go online. Is it on Facebook and online, or is it just online, or what do you do? Facebook? Is that a Facebook site?
Hawaiian? Well, White Hawaiian is a website, whitehawaiian.com, and so we'll, you know, if you go there now, you'll see like a clip from the show. You can get kind of a sense of it, and then that's where, you know, you can buy tickets. We'll know where the show is going to start its run. We'll be announcing that in the next couple of weeks for sure.
You know, I do love your posts when you post online on Facebook as well, because you always post some very funny things and some interesting insights. I remember you posted one time about someone coming up and calling you out, saying, Howley, go back to the mainland or something.
I forgot.
Remember that post was about, it was a year or 2 years ago. But I could relate, you know, of course, I'm not Hawaiian. But, I mean, you know, again, it comes back to White Hawaiian and your perspective being Hawaiian and having someone say that to you, of course, with your background and everything, right?
It was like a road rage thing, man. The guy was, I don't know what he was on, but he was, you know, he just came over and started yelling at me, go back where you came from. I was like, that would be down there in Kihei, but okay. Right on, man.
It's always fun seeing you. Really appreciate you as a person and your family and your sister and what you do. And a side note. I've had you do a couple of pieces. As you know, I don't sing. I don't try to sing. I don't claim to be a singer.
But you write beautiful poetry.
But I try to write poetry. I write every day. And you have offered your services and been on a couple of things I've done and done an amazing job on them. The last one, You Can't Stop the Music, absolutely amazing. And you didn't take any money. I wanted to give you money for it. And you refused any money for it. People don't see that side of you, maybe. But and you were on Harmony, All Things Working in Harmony, and you were on Peace, There's a Piece in Paradise. Mm-hmm. Absolutely out of the box, great, great stuff. And you are just, I know you're always singing praises for your sister because she's wonderful. But I mean, I just want to, and I can't sing, but I'd like to sing praises for Eric Gilliam as well, because you do a lot of wonderful things that people may not know or hear about that are really kind, good things. And I truly do thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I appreciate you, Eric.
Thank you, Cindy.
And lots of love. Your mother's memorial service coming up again. What date?
It's on May 21st, Saturday, May 21st, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We're going to do a little thing in the beginning inside, but ultimately it will be, you know, having food, and I'm going to show a short, couple short, like fun, funny movies of her, and then there'll be some live music and musicians playing, and we'll just have a beautiful day.
You know what? Your mother was very, very, very blessed. She was an amazing woman, and you can see how wonderful she was when we see you, and when we see Amy, and when we see Maddie. And thank God, you know, that there are moms like that. Folks, Mother's Day Sunday, take, if your mother's still alive, please take the time to say thank you and to appreciate your mother. I don't think people realize how important still flowers or a card. Yes, the old-fashioned kind of card that you actually either make or give or hand. Those things are still important to moms, you know. And the time you have with your parents and your mother is very precious.
Precious.
Very precious. So don't let it slip away without doing a little bit of respect and honor to your mother, right?
I agree.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone, too.
Happy Mother's Day.
God bless you. Love you, Eric.
Okay, Cindy.
Thank you.
Love you, too.